Last year, Washington voters expanded background checks for gun purchases, but pro-gun advocates have not quite given up their fight. They gathered in Olympia in December, then in January, and again this past Saturday with guns in hand. We spoke with gun rights activist and gun blogger Dave Workman, and he says firearms activists have one big goal.
In an ideal world, in a perfect world, we'd find a way either to repeal or change 594, go back to the drawing board and figure out just exactly what will work and what the legislation actually means.
Workman adds 594 is just bad legislation.
The more I write about this, the more I become convinced that the critics of this legislation do what they were talking about when they said that this thing is going to be impossible to enforce.
This week, state lawmakers consider several bills that seek to amend I-594. KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joins me now. Hi, Austin.
Good Monday afternoon, Marcy.
We just heard from Dave Workman, his complaints about the measure. What are major concerns that you have heard when it comes to 594?
Well, and we should note that the Second Amendment Foundation is challenging portions of 594
right.
in court, as well as sort of their legislative strategy. You know, there's going to be a series of proposals heard today in the Senate Law and Justice Committee having to do with specific carve-outs or exemptions within 594. So, for instance, waiving the 10-day waiting period for the delivery or transfer of a handgun to law enforcement officers, exempting the background check requirement for licensed security guards or for members of the military or correctional officers, things like that. So what the opponents of this law might say are tweaks. What the proponents would say were in there for a reason. And keep in mind, it takes a two-thirds vote within the first 2 years of an initiative passing to amend it at all.
So that's any initiative. It's not just this particular one.
Correct, yeah.
Well, how likely is that this session?
I think it's unlikely. I mean, you know, these messing with initiatives right after they've passed is not something that lawmakers are fond of doing, although separately they may very well do that with the new class size measure, but that's sort of a whole other story. But, you know, pretty reluctant to do that in the first 2 years, plus just getting that two-thirds vote on a gun-related issue, even if it seems sort of benign, not easy. But, you know, stranger things have happened as well.
How much support among lawmakers is there to amend I-594 maybe in 2 years' time after they have a little leeway?
That will be the argument you probably hear from the naysayers. You know, they won't necessarily say we disagree with the proposal to amend, but let's give it some time. Let's see how it shakes out. Let's see if police and prosecutors are having trouble. Let's see if real-world examples come up of where law enforcement officers were delayed in getting a gun, or there was a problem. And so I think that kind of becomes the argument is, let's let this play out a little bit longer. Plus, it's hard to get that two-thirds vote.
I'm talking with KOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. This afternoon, state lawmakers are going to look at a passel of measures that seek to amend I-594. I'm curious if supporters of gun background checks would acknowledge that there are some issues, some loose places in the measure?
Well, I asked them that question, and they quickly put out a statement via email that basically said, any legislation that, quote, weakens our state's gun laws and ignores the great demand for stronger gun laws is not acceptable at this point. What they really want is a focus on actually expanding some of the gun control, or what they would say gun safety measures. And, you know, they were emboldened by this vote back in November. So they came to the legislature with their own slate of bills to go further, frankly.
And those would not need a two-thirds vote because they're not initiatives. How likely is any stricter gun measure to pass?
Well, there's one that seems to perhaps have some traction on both sides, and that's something a measure that would basically require law enforcement to let victims of domestic violence know if somebody is getting their gun back, if it was seized, you know, lawfully, but now they're going to get it back. Some notification. This comes about because of a workplace violence death in Spokane last year, where a woman was shot in a murder-suicide by her estranged spouse. He had recently gotten a gun back. I'm not clear if it was the gun he used. So a notification process like that. As far as going further, like with requiring making it a crime if a child gets their hand on a gun and something bad happens, and holding the adult responsible, that starts to get more tricky politically, I think.
In introducing you, Austin, I mentioned that gun rights backers have been rallying in Olympia with their guns. What kind of impact do these public demonstrations have on lawmakers?
What I've noticed is actually that this is, to some extent, dividing the gun rights advocates. Huh. They are not all of the same thinking, especially about 594. There's the sort of I will not comply contingent that have been holding these demonstrations out on the lawn here at the campus and sort of handing guns back and forth, sort of, they say, in defiance of the law, going into the House galleries. The groups like the Second Amendment Foundation have basically distancing themselves from those activities and said, you know, they want to pursue the legal strategy, the legislative strategy, but not the flaunting the law strategy. You talk to the advocates of these recent efforts, though, they say it's, you know, important to be here. They say this is a fundamental right under the U.S., you know, the Second Amendment, but also the state constitution has a very strong gun rights language in it. And they say that this is, you know, if somebody was trying to muzzle your free speech, you'd be out here protesting. They're out here protesting because they feel like somebody's trying to muzzle their gun rights. That's sort of what, you know, how fiercely they feel about this.
And real briefly, just to sum up, not likely to pass this session, any kind of amendment?
I think at this point, I'd say the 594 two-thirds requirement to amend is going to be the roadblock to that. Whether some other things that are sort of unrelated to that measure but related to guns, it's possible, but it's also a tricky issue for legislators on both sides of the aisle. We see that.
Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent. He joins us every Monday during the legislative session. Great to talk with you again.
Thanks, Marcy.